Welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Beth Schild, and it means so much to me that you're here with me along this journey. If you're new here, welcome. If you've been here for a while, thank you so much for your support and your feedback. It truly means so much to me. This is a series entitled Your Emotions Aren't the Problem, and this is one I've been wanting to do for a while because learning how to manage your emotions is so freeing, and not letting your emotions manage you. And so part one of is today, which is what you were never taught about your emotions. And I want to talk about something that is typically quietly running the lives of most people I know, most people I work with, and something I had to unlearn myself in a really deep way. And it's this. We have been taught that negative emotions are a problem. So if you're feeling anxious, something's wrong. If you're feeling sad, you need to fix it. If you're depressed, scared, overwhelmed, you need to get out of that feeling as fast as humanly possible. And I get it, because those feelings are uncomfortable. But here's what I want you to consider today. What if it's possible that no emotion is the problem? What if the real problem is actually the story you're telling about the emotion itself? Here's what I see happen over and over again. Someone feels something uncomfortable, and before they even have a chance to feel it, they judge it. They label it as bad. They tell themselves they shouldn't be feeling this way. And then they spend all of their energy trying to get away from the feeling instead of just letting it move through. And that avoidance, that's where the real suffering lives. Anxiety gets labeled as something's wrong with you, like you're broken or too much, or you just need to calm down. But anxiety is so common. It's one of the most universal human experiences there is. Having anxiety doesn't mean you're failing at your life. It means your nervous system is doing its job, even if it feels really, really strong sometimes. And then we have anger. Anger gets labeled as bad. Bad for women and bad for men. For women, we're taught it's unattractive, it's scary, it's not ladylike. So what do? We swallow it. And then it turns into resentment. Or it turns inward and becomes anxiety or depression instead. But anger isn't a flaw, it's just information. Sadness can get labeled as weakness or like something we need to snap out of. Be positive, look on the bright side. But sadness is there just because there's something that we have lost or something that has disappointed us. It's not a problem to be solved. Depression gets labeled as something deeply wrong with the person. And I want to be really gentle here because this one's heavy and real and sometimes does need real support and treatment. But often, depression is what happens when your sadness has nowhere to go. When it gets pushed down for long enough with nowhere to be expressed or witnessed, it gets compressed and it can become really heavy. And none of these emotions mean there's something wrong with you. They're just part of the full human experience. And the sooner we stop treating them like evidence against us, the sooner we can actually learn from them. I want to teach you something today that comes from my very first coaching certification from the Life Coach School. It's a concept called the 50-50, and I still teach it to this day because it's really foundational, and I like to think of this when I think about the human experience. So, think about life. We are supposed to have 50% positive and 50% negative emotions. That's it. That's the deal we signed up for when we decided to be human. And when I teach this, I have a client's push back on this all the way. Well, why can't it be 80-20 or 90-10? That's why I'm here. That's what I want. And it can sound kind of like down, like at first, but stay with me because I think this is one of the most freeing things I've ever learned. No one here is exempt from negative emotion. Not the most healed person you know, not the most spiritual, not the most successful, not the happiest looking person on Instagram. The human experience is inherently 50-50. And when we accept that, we stop spending half our lives fighting reality. The goal is not to feel good all the time. The goal is to be at peace. And peace comes from being able to welcome all of the emotions, all of the human experience. So going a little deeper on this, there may be a phrase that you grew up with that everything will be okay. I just want you to be happy. How many of you have heard that from your parents? And maybe you've said it with your own kids, or I just want to be happy. As long as you're happy, everything's okay. And it sounds so loving. It is loving. The intention is good. But here's the problem with making happiness the goal. You cannot be happy all the time. It's not possible. Life is going to hand you disappointing things, things that you're going to be sad about. You're not always going to get what you want. People you love are going to hurt you. Things are going to fall apart sometimes, and you're going to want to grieve that. You're going to need to grieve that. But if you've been conditioned to believe that happiness is the standard, then every time you feel something other than happy, you're going to think something's wrong, that you just need to get back to happiness. You're going to judge the sadness. You're going to ruminate about the anxiety that you experience. You're going to look at the days where you don't feel motivated and decide that means something bad about you or your life. And that judgment is its own layer of suffering on top of the feeling itself. So I want to slow this down for a second. I want you to actually pause here with me. What is the story you have about yourself when you feel a negative emotion? When you feel anxious or really down or just off? What does that voice in your head say? Does it tell you something's wrong with you? Does it say you shouldn't be feeling this way, that you need to get it together, suck it up, that other people don't struggle like this? What's your problem? Is your inner critic showing up and deciding that because you're having a hard emotion, something's wrong with you, something's broken? And just notice what comes up. Here's what I want to offer you instead. What if you could meet that emotion and meet yourself in that emotion with love and compassion rather than criticism? What if instead of your inner critic running the show, you had a voice that said, "Of course you feel this way. This makes sense. You're human and you're having a human experience and there's nothing wrong with you." That's the rewire from self-criticism to self-compassion. And it's not a small thing. That's the work. And it starts with just noticing the story you've been telling yourself about your emotions that are uncomfortable. If you want to go really deep on the inner critic, where it comes from and how to work with it, I have a whole episode on that towards the beginning, and go back and check it out. So what I teach is this: how can you be at peace? Not happy all the time, at peace. Peace that includes trusting the hard stuff, the painful stuff. Trusting that even the things that are painful, even the things that shake you up, are happening for you, sometimes to move you or to show you something, to get you out of a pattern that isn't working, to push you toward a relationship that actually fits, to give you the information you needed, but you weren't letting yourself hear. The negative emotions are not obstacles to your life. They are part of it. They are often the most important part. And I don't even love the word negative emotion. I actually don't use that like in my own language anymore, because that just puts a judgment on it right away. I used to struggle with anxiety a lot as a kid. And then again, as an adult, it came back in a way that really took me down. And for a long time, I hated this part of myself. I thought there was something wrong with me. I would ask myself why I couldn't just relax, why I had these feelings, why I couldn't just be normal, why I couldn't just chill out like everyone else seemed to. And that fight, that constant fight against the anxiety, made everything so much worse. If you want to hear more about that part of my story, go back to my inner child work episode. I go deep on it there. But what I'll say here is this: the turning point wasn't because my anxiety went away. The turning point was when I stopped treating it like the enemy. When I finally decided to just sit with it and stop judging it, to actually feel it instead of running from it, to get curious about it instead of terrified of it, that's when it started to lose its power over me. And full honesty and transparency, this took time and practice, a lot. It did not happen overnight. But every single time I chose to feel it instead of escape it, I built a little more trust within myself, and that trust is everything. Here's the shift that made it all click for me. I stopped seeing my anxiety as the enemy and started seeing it as a part of me that was trying to keep me safe. It wasn't wrong. It wasn't attacking me. It was trying to get my attention. It was saying, hey, something doesn't feel right. I need you to slow down and listen. When I could receive it in that way, I could actually ask, okay, what do you need? What are you trying to tell me? And I could figure out what was underneath it and actually connect to it. That's the reframe I want to offer you for every single emotion that you've been trying to escape. Your emotions are not problems. They're messengers. They're wise. And they are always trying to support you. Think about anger. When you're angry, it's almost always because a boundary has been crossed. Something happened that wasn't okay with you. Anger isn't ugly or wrong or dangerous. It's your body saying, that wasn't right. I deserve better than that. Anger, when you listen to it, is actually one of the most self-protective emotions you have. And with that being said, it's so important to learn how to release anger in a healthy way so it's not projected onto others. Think about grief. Grief is loss. It shows up when something or something that mattered to you deeply is not there. You can't grieve what you didn't love. So when grief is present, it's not a sign that you're falling apart. It's a sign of how much you were willing to love. I've shared a lot about grief on the podcast in past episodes, and there's more on grief coming in part two of this series. And what about fear? Fear is your nervous system trying to keep you safe. It's scanning for threat. And sometimes that threat is real, and fear is exactly the right response. And sometimes it's old wiring from things that happened a long time ago that your body's still trying to protect you from. Either way, when you have fear, it deserves curiosity and not judgment. Shame. Shame tells you that you are the problem, not just that something went wrong, that you didn't just do something bad, you are bad. What actually moves shame is not more hiding, it's connection. It's being seen by someone who doesn't judge you that's safe. Shame loses its power the moment it's brought into the light. Every single one of these emotions is trying to tell you something. Every single one of them is a signal pointing you towards what you need. When you start to view your emotions as teachers instead of threats, everything can shift. You stop spending your energy running from yourself and you start actually showing up for yourself. That's what freedom feels like. Not the absence of hard emotions, the ability to be with them. Learning how to actually feel your emotions and not avoid them and not be afraid of them is one of the most liberating things you will ever do for yourself. Here's what can go sideways for some people. When something uncomfortable comes up, instead of feeling it, we do something to escape it. And in the coaching world, we call this buffering. Buffering is anything you do to avoid a feeling, an uncomfortable emotion. So let's take another pause. Think about what you do when something is bothering you and you don't want to feel it. Maybe you pour a glass of wine. Maybe you open Instagram and start scrolling. Suddenly an hour's gone by. Maybe you go online and shop or deep clean your whole house. Or maybe you eat when you're actually not hungry. And here's the thing, none of those are inherently bad. But if you're doing those things to run away from what you're feeling, that's buffering. And buffering doesn't actually make the emotion go away. It pushes it deeper into your body, causing dysregulation. Think about it like this. The emotion is trying to move through you. It needs somewhere to go. And when you keep shutting the door on it, it doesn't leave. It just camps out. It builds up. It comes out in ways that you don't expect. And it creates more dysregulation in your nervous system than if you had just sat down with yourself and let yourself feel it. Okay, let's get practical. This isn't just a concept I want you to understand intellectually. I want you to feel it. So if you can, I want you to try this with me right now. Think of an emotion that's really uncomfortable for you, something you have a hard time sitting with. We're going to use anxiety as the example, but this works with any emotion. If anxiety is easy for you to access, great. If not, just think about the last time you felt anxious or something in your life right now that brings you anxiety. Just let that come to mind for a second. And take a couple deep breaths. Where do you feel it in your body? For me, anxiety lives in my chest and in my throat most of the time. That's where I feel it first. So wherever it is for you, I want you to bring your attention there, not to fix it or make it go away, just to be with it. And then you name it. This is anxiety. That's it. Naming it at first. The simple act of naming what you're feeling takes a lot of its power away right away. Because when you name something, we create just a little bit of distance between us and the sensation. Now tell yourself, it's okay for me to feel this right now. Because here's what anxiety actually is at its core. It's a sensation. It's a vibration in the body that feels uncomfortable. It's not a sign that something's going wrong. It's energy wanting to move through your nervous system. So as you sit with it, just notice, is there any tension or tightness in your body, any bracing? Noticing without trying to fix it, being with it. And you can try something else. If the activation feels really strong, if it feels like too much to stay focused right on the area of discomfort, this is something I use with my clients all the time. So let's say you're feeling it in your chest. Allow it there. But now bring your focus and your energy and attention to a place in your body that doesn't feel activated. So let's say your toes. Allowing the feeling in your chest, bring the attention down to your toes, notice them. What do your feet feel like? What we're doing here is called pendulation. We're not running away from the feeling, we're creating more space around it. We're showing your nervous system that there are parts of you that are safe right now, even when this uncomfortable thing is present in your chest. And that expansion of awareness is what allows the emotion to actually process through. You can also picture creating even more space for the activation, the tightness in your chest. Visualize some of the energy moving down, creating more space for it, and maybe visualizing the energy going up, making more room for it. So we create more space for this. We're welcoming it instead of bracing against it, which is what suppresses it. Are you enjoying this episode? I hope so. If you're finding this content helpful and want to learn how to implement these tools, teachings, and practices into your daily life with the support of a safe community, I really want to invite you to check out the Shift membership. This is a monthly membership subscription that includes a monthly hot seat coaching call with me personally, where you can connect with me live on Zoom and ask questions to get support. We also do one monthly live breathwork session for the community, so you can experience all this work together. If you're curious and want to learn more, be sure to check out the link in the description of this episode or by going to shiftwithbeth.com/membership. All right, let's get back to this episode. All right, I would love to know how that felt for any of you if you want to share with me. Now, I want to introduce you to something else from a somatic experiencing called SIBAM. It's a framework, and it's one of the most useful tools I have for helping people understand how we actually process experiences and emotions. SIBAM stands for sensation, image, behavior, affect, and meaning. And what it describes is the five channels through which we experience anything, including emotions. So here's what it looks like in practice when you're sitting with any uncomfortable feeling. Sensation is where we start. That physical felt experience in the body, the tightness, the buzzing, the pressure, the heat. This is what we were just doing, getting into the body and noticing what's actually there. Image is everything your senses are taking in. And it also includes what comes up in your mind's eye. Sometimes when you close your eyes and sit with the feeling, an image will arise. Maybe a memory or a face or a color or a scene. You don't need to analyze it, just notice what's there. Behavior is the impulse. What does your body want to do? Does it want to retract, pull back? Does it want to reach out? Does it want to run? And these impulses are information. Your body has its own intelligence and it's been trying to communicate with you. Affect is the emotional tone, the feeling itself. The grief, the fear, the anger, the sadness. This is the layer most of us have been taught to suppress or explain away, or we judge. And meaning is the story. What are you making this mean about you, this emotion, about your life, about the situation? A lot of times this is where we get stuck because we attach a whole story to the sensation and that story keeps us spinning. So when you're sitting with an uncomfortable emotion, you might not move through all of these five channels You might just process one at a time. Everyone processes differently. Some people are more sensation-based. They feel more. Some people get images right away. Some people go straight to the story. So just notice what comes up for you and get curious about it. I love doing this with my clients and seeing how they uniquely have their own channels that they flow through, and we just flow through them together. And this is how we allow the emotion to process and move. I also love this exercise I use with my clients. Imagine an alien landing on Earth and coming to you and saying, "I have no idea what anxiety feels like. Can you describe it? Not what causes it, not what it means. What does it actually feel like in the body?" And that question will get you out of your head and into your experience. And this can feel uncomfortable and strange at first. Like, I've never thought of my anxiety as having a color or describing how heavy it is. But this is where you actually can process it more, and it takes away the power over you, where healing can happen. An emotion, when fully felt, lasts 60 to 90 seconds. Let me say that again. An emotion, when fully felt, last 60 to 90 seconds. Let that sink in. When you actually allow an emotion and you stop fighting it and running from it and judging it, just let it be present in your body. That peak intensity of it moves through in 60 to 90 seconds. That doesn't mean all the activation disappears, but the intensity shifts, it softens. It becomes something you can breathe through. The reason most of us feel like our emotions are endless and overwhelming is because we never actually let them complete their cycle. We feel the edge of the feeling, we panic, we grab that one of our things that we do to buffer, and we push it back down, and then it just sits there and builds. 60 to 90 seconds. You can do that. You can practice. I know you can. And I know that sounds simple. I also know that sitting with discomfort is one of the hardest things you'll ever practice because most of us were never taught how to do it. Most of us were taught the opposite. Keep it together. Don't be sensitive. Look on the bright side. But what if the most powerful thing you could do is look directly at what's there? Allow it. Open up to trusting your body and its wisdom, not to make it mean something terrible about your life, just to feel it, to let it process through your body the way it's designed to. Emotions are energy in motion. They move when we let them, and they get stuck when we don't. The next time you notice you're reaching for something to escape a feeling, I would love to invite you to pause just for a moment and ask yourself, what am I actually feeling right now? Not what you think you should be feeling, or not, I don't want to feel this. That's resistance. What's actually here? And then I want you to get curious. Where do you feel it in your body? What does it feel like? Describe it, notice, be with it. You don't have to fix your emotions. You don't have to get rid of them. You just have to be willing to feel them. The feelings that we're most afraid to feel are the ones that have the most to teach us. And the life on the other side of actually feeling your emotions is so much richer and so much more free than the life we build trying to avoid them. That's what stopping self-abandonment looks like in practice. It means you stop abandoning yourself in the moment when you need yourself the most in the moment. Okay, that's part one. Next episode, we're going to go deeper where all this comes from, why it's harder for some of us than others, and how we pass it on to the people we love the most. So make sure you're following the podcast, subscribe if you haven't subscribed yet so you don't miss it. If you feel like this episode would help someone, please share it. That would mean everything to me. And thank you for being here, and I'll see you guys in the next episode.